It's Wednesday, the 15th of March, and you're listening to the Red Army Roundup. I'm your host, Paul Hinton, and as ever, I'm joined by Sean Phillips and Aaron Wren. Hello there, gents.
Hello there, Paul.
Good evening, Paul.
And we're going to look back this week on a two-point week for the Devils. Victory over Dundee at home on Saturday before a heavy defeat in Sheffield the following night. As ever, we're going to take our votes for Player of the Week, have a little look at the news around the Elite League before previewing the weekend's action to come. So, we'll get cracking straight away onto Saturday night, and Dundee Stars were the guests at Ice Arena Wales for another sold-out Ice Arena Wales. In a game that we discussed last week as being a potential banana skin for the Devils, especially coming off the back of the Challenge Cup win the previous Sunday. A scoreless first period, Sean, and you know, not one that necessarily settled the nerves of anyone worried about banana skin games.
No, definitely not. And it was looked a bit cagey. We looked a little bit nervous, and you look at the shots, and Devils outshot the Stars 9-7, and it was, I felt like we created a couple of chances, but nothing too extreme to say that. I think having a level score at the end of the first is probably a fair reflection of how it went, to be quite honest with you.
Yes, yeah, but a solid performance from the Devils up until then, with a couple of power play chances coming at the end of the first period, which were unable to capitalise on. But less than a minute into the second, and Mark Richardson pops it with a goal to give Devils a massive boost at the start of the second.
Yeah, and it came at a good time as well, just 48 seconds into the first period. Mark Richardson scoring the goal with assists from Andrew Hotham and Joey Martin to give us a one-goal lead, and we always say how important those goals are in the first and last minute of each period. So, yeah, good to get on the board nice and early and set the tone for the period.
Yeah, definitely we're looking for, and you know, further help in that cause a couple of minutes later when Kevin Hart took a slashing penalty to give the Devils a chance to go on the power play. But a bit of a mix-up and some real hard work from Kale Tanaka led to him driving straight at Bounds' net from deep within the period, within the zone. And somehow the puck squirmed through Bounds. You probably had a better view than it than I, Sean, from behind the net.
Yeah, Richardson looked to close him down and take it away. And I think that Bounds hugged his post quite snugly, but then left a slight gap in the thought that Tanaka might try and drift across. But Richardson had that covered and somehow just squirmed through and a goal based on hard work, which is what you're going to get from Kale Tanaka. He's that sort of player. Works hard, drives to the net, and just gets the puck on net. And ultimately, good things happen with that. And it's a tie game. And yeah, I think it was quite disappointing to let it go in like that. You never want to concede shorthanded, but a great goal from Kale Tanaka, no doubt.
Yeah, hard work and something that he brings to the Dundee team, you know, night after night, Aaron.
Yeah, definitely. There's not a lot we can't say about him. He might be a little ring rat and like made to play against, but you know, he's kind of like a short Joey Adad where he puts the work in every shift and plays brilliantly, so can't fault him really.
No, and you know, the shorthanded goal just sort of show again, you know, another quick team in the Elite League sort of causing problems when they get the opportunities. But I felt that on the whole, the second period, the Devils were the dominant team. You know, Devils had 14 shots to Dundee's 9, and that sort of came to fruition just over 11 minutes in, Sean, when Joey Adad restored the Devils' lead and, you know, sort of made the game probably look a bit fairer in terms of the way it had been going.
Yeah, I think so. We looked to ramp it up, given the fact we'd conceded a short and goal. I think that gave the guys a bit of a spark, and yeah, it was good to see Joey Adad get on the score sheet. I thought he played very, very well, to be quite honest with you, and yeah, I think deservedly we went into the lead.
Yeah, and we're able to, you know, just continue exerting pressure for the rest of the second, but without making it tell on the scoreboard, which, you know, it's always worrying sort of carrying a single goal lead into the third period against anyone. But the third period sort of carried on as we'd left off with, you know, pretty much dominance from the Devils. And then when the power play opportunity came around at the start of the third, the Devils took nearly all 2 minutes to make it count, admittedly. But a stretch pass from Ben Bounds at Scott Hotham, who fed Joey Haddad then to give us that two-goal cushion, and maybe get a little bit of revenge for conceding a shorthanded goal the period before.
It's worth pointing out that no goalie in the world was going to stop that shot, because Joey Haddad took it purely on stride and just ripped an absolute bullet that he got right in the sweet spot between the blocker and the pad, and no one's going to stop that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, hell of a finish from Haddad. And while we're on the subject of hell of a goal, Josh Batch decides to go coast to coast, Sean, to put the icing on the cake for the Devils.
Yeah, Josh Batch doesn't score a lot of goals as a defenseman, but when he scores goals, he scores beauties. We talked about him in the preseason game, potentially have it scoring goal of the year. And then he goes coast to coast and basically lays himself off and strides through a stick by the defenseman and just fires one on net. And he's up there with another contender for goal of the year. So Josh Batch only scores a couple of goals a year, but boy, are they beautiful.
Well, he's got 4 goals on the season. One of them was a coast-to-coast, and one of them was a game-winner against Sheffield. It's not a bad return for those 4 goals.
No, not at all.
The Devils then 4-1 up and just saw the game out comfortably. At that point of Josh Batch's goal, saw Joe Fallon leave, be replaced by Craig Holland, a netminder who's had a bit of a torrid time whenever he's faced the Devils in the past when he's had to come in, and to be fair to him, usually on the end of a bad result. And I may have made some sort of flippant comment to that remark when he went into net, but he did excellently in the 30 minutes on the ice, faced 10 shots and made 10 saves, a couple of really good saves mixed into that, with Devils outshooting the Stars 17-6 in the third period to outshoot them.
Just didn't want to score on their backup. We felt bad for him.
Yes, it was done. Why make him any more upset?
We did a Panthers.
Was it Gary Moran that actually said that?
Gary Moran actually said that. Yeah, but I think it was may have been about Coventry. Maybe over any mark.
It was, yeah. Felt bad scoring on the back. What a hockey man!
Classic Gary Moran.
That pretty much was Saturday though, Sean. It was solid workmanlike performance, probably the best way to sum it up. Nothing fancy, nothing special, but got the job done and beat what was in front of them.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
And, you know, gave the Devils a bit more of a boost, you know, on a good run at the moment, going into Sheffield on Sunday night, we hoped. The game faced off in Sheffield with news that at the time Belfast were trading 1-0 to Nottingham, a result that obviously would have meant another 2 points to the Devils would have sealed the league. But I think Belfast had taken the lead before, you know, much had happened in our game, which for me settled my nerves. I was a bit of a nervous wreck when I thought, oh God, it's possible. But halfway through the first period, Sean Robert Dowd, who's on a hell of a run of form at the moment, put the Steelers into the lead after a bit of a streaky bounce off the backboards.
Yeah, streaky bounce off the backboards, and he's basically stood on the goal line, fires one on net, and it goes off Bounds and in. And I think Bounds could have done a little better with it. It wasn't a particularly tough shot from Robert Dowd, but you know, you get your bounces and you try and take advantage of them, and then got a good bounce on that play. So full credit to them for taking advantage of it.
Yeah, and you know, just go show right place at the right time. You know, good things happen if you get to the net. You do get those bounces. It was the only goal of the first period, but you know, how did you feel it went? Shot cam shows it was even. Was it an even game, or did you give one of the teams the edge? Obviously, other than the goal.
No, I thought it was fairly even. I thought that we created some good chances, and Sheffield cleared up a lot of garbage in front of their own net and not let us get on the end of the rebounds, which Irvin Mustakov is prone to giving up. And I thought they did a good job of that, and I thought it was fairly even, to be quite honest with you. I think it was a one goal game at the end of that first, regardless of the performance. Would say it was a one goal game if anything. So yeah, I thought fairly even in my eyes.
Yeah, I think that probably sums up. I think the point you made around Mustakov's his rebounds is a good one. It's something Sheffield really seemed to struggle with earlier in the season, but it was whether it was a coaching issue, they've changed their system slightly. They do seem to be dealing much better with those rebounds, and you know, part of me is quite thankful that we played so many games against them early in the season where we were able to take a bit more advantage of it than we have done over the last couple of games against them, even though we ran out the winners in the Challenge Cup final. Second period, and you know, carried on being quite a close game, but 2.5 minutes in, Andrew Lord gave massive hope to the Devils fans by tying the game up, Sean.
Yeah, there's a bit of a battle in front of the net, and Lord gets on the end of it, just spins around and tries to get the puck on net, and places it right in the corner. And it a good time to get a goal. We maybe let up a bit of pressure early on, and then we get it tied up, and it's game on.
And something we've mentioned a few times, that if you could choose a player to have stood in the crease when there's a puck to battle for, stood in the slot, sorry, when there's a puck to battle for, Andrew Lord that's right at the top of that list, time after time.
Yeah,
possibly definitely being challenged by a certain Lane Olmer at the moment with his whatever the word is in front of net. Give up on that one. From there, well, I was going to say there was a sort of litany of penalties that went on, but what happened before that was Rod Saric, as the puck was going into net, played through Andrew Hotham when the puck wasn't really involved, and put Hotham straight into Ben Bounds, who went down hard, stayed down for a while, receiving treatment, and did try to play on, but at the next break in play, he made the decision to be pulled, and replaced by Tom Murdy, limping off quite gingerly. So what was your take on the moment, Aaron? Was it a natural hockey play? Did you think it was deliberate from Saric, or just a little reckless?
I wouldn't say as far as it was deliberate. Anyone who knows Saric and the way he plays, he's not really that kind of player. And even though there's a big rivalry between the Devils and the Steelers, I can't imagine any Steelers player going in to injure a player. But the way it looked, he shoved Hotham into the net, and Hotham just fell awkwardly onto Bounds' leg, and you don't know what damage you can do. Hopefully it's just precautionary, but in my opinion, Sheffield was doing it all night. They were trying to run the goalie, maybe just to shake Bounds up a little bit, but I don't think it was any intent to injure. Paul Thompson may be not a nice guy, but I can't see him purposely going out to injure players, and even though it was quite dangerous what he's doing if he is trying to run goalie, but I don't think it was intentional. But what are you going to do? At least Bounds is hopefully okay and can play Saturday, and we can take the 2 points. It helps us massively.
It's one of those things where when it's a player coming into a player going into another player, it's hard to sort of talk about any sort of intent unless it looked massively obvious. So not long after Murdy was in, one of the Steelers players went through almost in a football slide tackle through Murdy, having lost an edge but had no one near him. And for me, it wasn't a one-off. There were a few times where there was contact with the goalie. We'll come on to it in a moment, but the Steelers' second goal, there was a guy stood in the crease, not interfering with the goalie, but again, closer to the goalie than we should be allowing, even if the ref should have whistled the play down. And Andrew Lord, in an interview today, has said that his junior coaches would be embarrassed that a team he coached didn't react to an incident like that happening to his netminder, which is an interesting thing to say. If you're a bench coach and you call your team out for not reacting, that's one thing. But when you're a guy on the ice and there wasn't a reaction, is he calling out the players, or is he calling out himself, Sean, do you think there?
I think he's calling out the players. I think he wants a reaction. But I think more than anything, that's a bit of... I think he's hoping that the players sort of... that they see that, and going into the game Saturday, that gives them a bit of spark, and that they look after their netminder, because your netminder's got to be your best player night in, night out, if you want to have success. And Bebauz has been so good for us this year, and he's given us a chance to go on and do good things. We've already won one championship this year, and it all starts from the back with him. I think ultimately he needs to be the most protected player on the ice, and it may have been an accident on Saturday, but you then don't let it happen to, oh, sorry, excuse me, on Sunday, but you don't let it happen to Bounds, or an accident happened to Ben Bounds, and then letting him go in and intentionally do it to Tom Murdy without making someone pay, and nobody paid. And I think Saturday could be quite a feisty affair, but we'll come on to that a little bit later.
Yes, yeah. So as you said, with Murdy in net, Steelers sort of gained a power play, which was, you know, a run of penalties for the Devils, seemingly on a constant penalty kill for about sort of 8 minutes in the middle of that second period. And the second one told. Guillaume Davian, you know, as we've said, on the night it appeared he was stood in the crease from watching the replays. You know, stood pretty much full body in the crease.
Matthew Rath was in the crease.
Matthew Rath, sorry, Davian is the guy who got the goal, wasn't he? Yes, Matthew Rath stood in the crease, and Davian was able to fire the puck in, and just really frustrating that things like that, you know, don't get called by the ref, and especially after you've had, you know, incidents with players making contact with the goalies, and you know, we say the players should be protecting them, but it's the type of thing that, you know, the referees referees have got to be looking after the goalies as much as anyone else on the ice, because, you know, they are the most vulnerable players out there.
Yeah, and you look at the impact on the NHL, and I know it's not, we're not quite up to that level yet with regards to the video review and all that sort of thing coming into place. And when it does, I hope they utilise it for things like that, and that the coaches can challenge things like that, because as much as there was no interference on Tom Murdy, if Matthew Wire is in the eye line of Tom Murdy and doesn't give him the opportunity to make the save, then in my mind, then the goal should be washed out. But, you know, the Steelers get a good break, and they take advantage of it. The main thing we've got to do is stop the puck getting into that situation where they could put it in the net. We don't, and referee misses a man in the crease, and ultimately we see ourselves go a goal down on a good power play goal from the Steelers. I think it was possibly a 4-on-3 at that stage. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, I think it was just a 5-on-4 penalty.
Okay. I don't remember.
Yeah. It was just Joey Haddad sitting a strange tripping call. It was a penalty, but just nowhere near the legs. It was one of those ways.
Oh, yeah, that was the ludicrous one where I forget who it was on, but the stick was all over Joey Haddad up high. Joey Haddad chased the puck down and the guy fell over.
I think it was John Phillips, wasn't it?
Got a tripping call. But that was in my mind. I don't think, on the subject of the referee while we're on it, I don't think he had a particularly bad game. Overall, I think a lot of what he called was correct, but that for me was a bad call.
Yeah, yeah. And followed up, as you said, a minute later with the, you know, missed man in the crease, which, you know, if you're interfering with play or not, if you're still in the crease, play's whistled down. But the Devils did get a power play opportunity of them of their own 5 minutes later when Mustakov's hooked a player going around the net, and it took the Devils just 30 seconds of work before Mark Richardson got his second of the weekend, Sean, and a really nicely worked power play goal with Bentifoglio and Andrew Hotham picking up the assists.
Yeah, it was literally an inch-perfect pass from Andrew Hotham, who just sails it beautifully, the width of the ice. And with all the bodies in the slot and in the traffic, Mustakov doesn't track the puck across to Mark Richardson, who he scored a couple of power play goals like that this year, a couple of them in Sheffield even, and yeah, great to see him get on the score sheet and proof that we weren't going to lie down and that we were still in the game. And literally, like you said, a really well-worked power play goal.
And a really big lift, because after the Steelers have gone 2-1 up, and obviously the Devils, having had the backup in Tom Murdy in net for a while, had really started to exert some pressure. Mm-hmm. And, you know, getting that goal back really gave the fans a lift. You know,
felt and it, like, and it, And it lasted all of 12 seconds.
All of 12 seconds. Yeah, I was just going to say, I think we weren't even through celebrating the goal by the time that Levi Nelson had put the Steelers back into the lead. And it was a goal that seemed to really take the wind out of the Devils' sails from there, Sean.
Yeah, well, you say we talk about momentum and the lift that gave the Devils that Mark Richardson power play goal, and then Robert Dow just drives through the net, drives through the blue line, throws one on net. Defense nowhere to be seen in stopping him getting to the net. He could go in all alone himself there, to be quite honest with you, but just gets one on net, and Nelson follows it up and puts one on net on Murdy, who's already down, and it goes in, and ultimately that was. You know, with the game-winning goal, and it was a turning point for sure, because that wave which we were riding came to a sudden halt, and I think at that stage we looked like never getting back into the game.
No, saw out the rest of the second period without any further goals. And to be fair to yourself, you know, it wasn't like, you know, we got a bit deflated and the game went away from us straight away. You know, a good 15 minutes of play through the end of the second, and then for the opening half of the third period, where it was tight. You know, the Devils did have chances, but a double minor on Joey Martin for high sticking in the third period gave Steelers an extended power play opportunity, which, you know, for the second time of the night, made us pay on it with Andreas Valdic getting that insurance goal to give him the extra cushion, and, you know, really force the Devils to start to take risks and try and stretch the game, Sean.
Yeah, and we weren't helped then later on when Sean Bedivoglio takes a bad hit from Zach Fitzgerald behind the net, and I think it's a bad hit, to be quite honest with you. And and then Bendavolio gets called for what we thought at the time was diving.
No, he was called for diving. It's on the game sheet as diving. It was just an
on the game sheet as dive. It was signally made. Didn't look like a dive. Anyway, regardless, I think we deserved the power play out of it. We didn't get it, and ultimately, then the Steelers go on, and Ben O'Connor grabs one, and basically game over. Basically game over.
Yeah, pretty much. Andrew did his trick of pulling Moody quite early. I think there was about three and a half, four minutes left when he left the ice. And, you know, the Devils had a good couple of minutes where we were able to, you know, keep the puck, cycle the puck, and exert a bit of pressure without ever really making it tell until 51 seconds remaining. And Robert Dow bags his second of the night by slotting into the empty net. I think Sheffield had a couple of pops at the empty net, which had resulted in icings before they were able to actually, you know, get the puck down the ice to the seal the game. You know, at 5-2, they pretty much had won anyway. But, you know, just, you know, from a Sheffield point of view, it was the cherry on cake just to make it a 4-goal game. But, you know, it really wasn't important by that stage of affairs. Yeah. So a pretty disappointing night all in all. I think, sure, we went up on the bus, Sean, and I don't think either of us were massively expecting a win. You know, we commented that we'd only lost one Sheffield all season in the league. We hadn't lost a game in Sheffield Arena in the three previous games we'd had there. And it just seemed like the law of averages was saying it wasn't going to be our night. But, you know, a 4-goal defeat's never good. And Aaron, do you think that the margin of defeat might have a bearing on the Devils' mindset or confidence going into, obviously, playing them on Saturday?
I don't think it'll affect them massively. You know, a loss is a loss, whether it's one goal or 15 goals. You know, I think Lord will settle them down and maybe just take their minds off the thing that we can win, and hopefully we can go out Saturday and turn up and play like we did in Challenge for Final. Just play relentless hockey. You know, the way we forecheck the last couple of weeks has been absolutely incredible, and no team's been able to deal with it. We let that slide a little bit on Sunday against Sheffield, but if we can get our back, we'll be okay. And I another thing I don't think helped us a lot was the amount of penalties we took in Sheffield. You know, constantly on the power play, it's not going to benefit anyone. And when you've got Joey Martin sitting a double minor, your best penalty killer, your best player, if he's sitting, you know, it's not an impossible chance, but it's more likely they're going to score then. And if we can turn it around, try and play the hockey we know to play, and hopefully we can do a Saturday.
Yeah, that would be nice. Obviously, we'll come on to the weekend's game in a little bit more detail later on. Anything else, Sean, from you in terms of the game? Or
basically following on what Aaron said. I don't think the margin is that big a significance. Like you said, you could lose a goal by one or lose it by 15. Ultimately, you don't get the 2 points, which is what you're playing for. So, yeah, it's I think it's at that level where we did have glimpses of our best, and that'll be encouraging. But then Andrew Lord obviously mentioned in his post game interview that we weren't nowhere near good enough, and I think the scoreline sort of means that we're still within reach. Whereas if you get blown out, you sort of think wow, and it really dents your confidence a lot. But the guys have a lot to work on this week, and I think it'll. I think sometimes it's good to get not a pasting like that, but it's good to sort of, keep your feet on the ground with a defeat like that, much like we did in Nottingham. And we played some of our best hockey since that weekend in Nottingham. So since that midweek game in Nottingham. So hopefully it transpires again this weekend.
Yeah, no, it's something we've mentioned a couple of times where, you know, you can have a performance that's quite substandard and only lose by a goal. And you probably have those thoughts in your mind, either consciously or subconsciously, that, oh, we were quite close there, we don't need to do a lot. But you could even look at it by shipping the four goal deficit, that mindset would never creep in. You know that with a bit of a bigger margin, you have to change something. And you could be a positive in that case, that people are not going to rest on the laurels and think we were nearly there. As Lord said, we weren't. Even though, as you said, John, it wasn't a horrific performance, that there were times where the Devils played well, and we did keep it tight for over half the game. So
yeah, I think our biggest problem was penalties. Obviously, as Aaron said, we did take too many penalties, and we lost our star. Listen, it to lose your ultimately your best player through the year at a stage like that in a big game must just kill any sort of momentum you built up in the game. So that's the difference. You lose your starter and it's difficult to win any game. So I think that's another thing to take. We like you said, it wasn't our worst performance. We've been better and we can be better again.
Definitely. And obviously your whole game plan has to change when your backup goes internet. So while we're saying we weren't playing our usual style, that might not have been by accident. That might have been what we needed to do, because that's the way we play with Moody and Net instead of Bounds. So lots of things contributed to it, but nothing to a degree where you'd be totally writing us off on Saturday night. That was the weekend. It was a 2-point weekend, and if we see the season out with 2-point weekend, it'll have been a good season.
What is a 2-point weekend?
We had one last weekend as well, Sean, if you remember.
Oh yeah.
That had a trophy as well. So. 2-point weekends are a lot easier to take when there's a cup final on the other game and you win it.
Indeed.
Well, let's do a player of the week. I'm going to go first this week, because I don't usually, because I'm lazy and just like to copy one of you two. But my pick for player of the week is Andrew Hotham. He's consistently brilliant and is probably having his best season as a Devil, and I think probably gets overlooked a lot because the level of his play is always that high that it's difficult for him to do anything to stand out. But I thought he had a good game on Saturday, and I thought he was exceptional on Sunday in Sheffield, as Sean said, the pass that led to Mark Richardson's power play goal. But some of his outlet passes, some of his defensive play, and his all-round skating was really, really good on Sunday. So my vote goes to Andrew Hotham. We'll ask Aaron next.
Well, I missed the entire Sunday game, and I caught a period and a half of the Saturday game. So I'm just purely going to base it on that and the points production. So I'm going to go with Joey Dad. The guy constantly put points up, constantly does everything right, and scored two goals on Saturday. So why not give it to him? He's one of our best players, and at the moment he's our player of the year, so he deserves it, in my opinion.
Fair enough. And Sean with the casting vote.
Oh, the non-casting vote.
It's your decision whether we have a winner or we have a split week, I suppose.
Yeah, I think we are going to have a split week then, in that case. I'm going to go with Mark Richardson. I thought that, as ever, was excellent, scored two goals, and yeah, he's been awesome for us all year. And even though this is a player of the week, not a player of the season, Aaron, I think Mark Richardson for me was our best player this weekend. Well, I'm consistently best through the two games.
That's a good shout, and you know, probably telling that both Mark Richardson and Andrew Hotham get a nomination with, you know, there's obviously a regular defensive pair in there. Something's still going well in that combination. So congratulations to nobody for being
a player of the week.
Or Joey, your dad, Andrew Hotham, and Mark Richardson for being player of the week, whether you're a positive or a negative type of person. Let's have a little look at some of the news from around the league. Not a great deal this week, to be honest. But today the Devils have announced that our playoff quarter-final will see the home game taking place on Saturday with the away leg on Sunday. Obviously worked out for us last year with Dundee. Obviously it cut out us having to travel twice up and back to Dundee on the Saturday and Sunday afternoon, and just had the single trip up, and we were able to overturn a two-goal deficit to qualify for the playoffs. But this year's a little different in that we could still face Manchester, Coventry or Dundee, or even potentially Fife, I think, as well, depending on how the league finishes. And Coventry, especially being a couple of hours up the road, seems to me a bit of a strange decision to give up home advantage second. You know, if you have a tight game in the first leg, having your own fans is surely going to be an advantage. Sean, what's your thoughts on it?
I don't know. I'm one of the people with last year. It was questioned last year, and I felt it was the right decision. It's hard to say. I still think that playing a game, sleeping in your own bed, and going all that sort of mentality, you only have to travel once. Personally, I don't see a problem with it. I really, really don't. The negative side of it is I would say normally the negative side of it was you probably won't bring a bigger gate because there's less riding on the home game, but we've had sellouts this year, so I'm not too concerned about that. So, I don't care, to be quite honest with you. If we're good enough to make the playoffs, we'll make the playoffs, whether we play the first leg home or away. So my attitude towards it.
Fair enough. Aaron, your thoughts on the situation? Would you have waited to see the opponents?
For me, I would always look at it as if you've got home advantage for the second leg, you always give yourself a chance to win, no matter who you play. You know, we could be playing Sheffield and we could get stuffed 3-0 or something like that, but you're playing in front of your home fans on your home ice, you're in your home dressing room. It gives you that incentive to win that way, but that could work on the flip side. You know, you could, like we did last year, lose by two at home, go up to Dundee, have a brilliant game and make it up there. But if I was Todd or Lordo, I would be, you know, I'd be like, right, home advantage on the Sunday. If we want to make that playoffs, that gives us the best opportunity to do so. So, as far as waiting to see who we play, I can see that because last year worked in our favour with just the one travel, because then, you know, Dundee had to travel down and then back up. So, but if it's Coventry, we're giving that home advantage up to them, and they again big crowds, and they are a playoff team. They always turn up during the playoffs. Proved that last year. Sorry, Paul. But
we don't talk about that game.
All right, sorry. So I didn't mention it. Forget about it. But yeah, my opinion, I would always go for the Sunday home advantage, just purely for the fact it's in your hands to turn the result around.
Even with the case of playing in Scotland on a Saturday night.
Yeah, YOLO.
Fair enough.
The best response I've ever seen to a question on this podcast.
You can't really argue with YOLO, can you? It's
no.
It's at a level where it can't be argued with, and you take that anyway. The other news to come out this week is that it's been confirmed that the Elite League winner will have representation in the CHL as a wild card spot. Obviously, joining the Nottingham Panthers, who qualified due to their Continental Cup victory earlier in the season. A big boost for the league, Sean, having two representatives in the league, and obviously good for those of us still in the title hunt, knowing that there's a CHL spot at the end of it as well as the trophy.
Yeah, I think we fully expected that, to be quite honest with you. I didn't think that there was a question posed whether it would Nottingham's participation would mean that we didn't get a spot, but I always felt that we would, based on the fact that Nottingham were the representative of the Continental Cup, not of the Elite League as such. So yeah, good to get that incentive there, and yeah, it's always good. Listen, it's good for whoever wins the title gets the honour of going and playing against some of the best teams in the world. And I know Sheffield have played for London, and Nottingham have hosted a good couple of teams, and the Elite League has had some had a good couple of results. I think that the representative has won at least one game every year, which is why they keep awarding us a slot. And it can only be a good thing for the league that we keep getting that spot and keep getting that acknowledgement. And it helps us bring a higher caliber of player over as well if we do end up competing in that competition. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing who, regardless of who it is, I'm looking forward to seeing who ends up coming to the UK to play against the league, Elite League representative, and hopefully we can put on a show for them again.
Yes, yeah, it'd be nice.
It'd be great if it was us, yeah.
Yeah, a bit of a European tour is never a bad thing. And shortens the off-season as well, I guess, is the other upside on it. Aaron, it's a really big boost for the league, do you think? Or for you is the fact that the CHL is, we're not going to be challenging for the CHL in a long time. Or do you think it's, would you rather see us in a competition like the Continental Cup that Panthers have proven there is actually a genuine chance of success for us?
Well, I think the fact that we should get the three spaces, the Continental Cup and the two Champions League spots, it just proves that with Nottingham winning, we have got good teams and good players, and we get good attendances to prove that we can play about at that level. Like you said, we're never going to compete with some of the Swedish Hockey League teams and the DEL and stuff. And, we might, a team might make it next year and they might get absolutely smashed 7-0 each game, but it's good so that fans can see other styles of hockey and week, and teams can take a lot away from that. Look at Sheffield. They went there this year and they didn't play great. I think they won one game out of the few they played, and their team this year, probably when they go in, is probably the best team we'll see. And it's just purely for the fact that the speed, their transition in is fantastic. And I think they took a lot of that from watching the CHL teams, which is what we've done with the KHL teams. Lordo watched them train for a week, watched how they play, and took that took all that in, and it helped us to get where we are at the moment. So although we might get smashed every week when we play them, at least it's a learning curve, and it benefits the league hugely each time a team from the UK gets to play in it.
On the note, you just mentioned attendances. It's also been announced this week that the Elite League has got the seventh highest average attendance out of top tier European leagues.
Wow.
Yeah, which, when you think there's probably at least two teams that are at, well, there's two teams that are averaging around or below 1,000 out of 10 teams.
Mm.
Sort of shows you that sort of the top end of the league, you know, are getting crowds more than capable of, you know, doing damage in Europe. I think Nottingham are around 40th, the highest average attendance in Britain. Bearing that in mind, Sean, is the Elite League underperforming? You know, the crowds are actually there. We talk about it being a minority sport, but in terms of hockey around Europe, we're not that much of a minority.
Do I think the Elite League is underperforming? No, not really. You look at places like Sweden, Norway, even Germany. Hockey is just massive in those areas, and not to say that it's not big here. Like you said, it is growing. Crowd numbers are up, and we've got that to prove it. But there's the corporate aspect of it is nowhere near the level it is in Sweden and all that sort of area. And mainly, I think that's because we don't have a TV deal with a major broadcaster. I'd like to think that, listen, I think if the Elite League was getting a game every week on BBC, then we'd be at that level. I genuinely do, because you'd attract that sponsorship and it would help grow the game. But until that happens, then we're not going to be up there competing with the Swedish Hockey League teams, and that's the way it's going to be. Is the money really there? To be quite honest with you, we look at the caliber of player, but with that sponsorship, with that lack of sponsorship, is the money really there to put the game up to its next level? I don't think it is.
That's a good point. And almost as if a commercial director should be appointed for the Elite League to try and sort some of those issues out, you know.
Well, hasn't it been about a year since they actually advertised that?
It's, you know, crazy. And, you know, it's just these stats prove that the league is getting there in terms of what it needs. You know, the crowd numbers are practically there. It's just someone with that commercial nous, and maybe, you know, not deliberately attracting bad press to the league, to actually kick us over the line and get the sponsorship in that the attendances deserve.
I think the one aspect of that is that they did try and recruit somebody, but the biggest problem was is that they were in it more for the money than they were in it for the game. And that's where I think it's, and I think you have to love the game to purely be good at selling it, to be quite honest with you. So that's just my 2 pence on it. I think it takes someone like your Neil Russell or your Todd Kalman, someone who loves it, who doesn't have a vested interest in it already, to do something like that. And, that person just hasn't been found yet.
Yeah, potentially, but, you know, so the commercial is commercial. You know, you're not selling to corporate, you're not selling to massive sponsors, you're not selling to TV companies based on the love for the sport. You're selling it on numbers, you're selling it on figures, you're selling it on stats, and as much as that passion. And I'd much rather see someone from outside. I just think the league needs someone from outside in a position of authority, chairman, commercial director, just someone who is not involved in any way with British hockey, to come in and say, what is this? And just point at all the stupid things that the league keeps doing and take the gun out of our hands so we stop shooting ourselves in the foot and actually make us look like a professional league.
I think that is a fair point.
I keep bringing my soapbox to the podcast. Let us preview the weekend's action. The Devils 2-point weekend. We didn't mention Belfast weekend last weekend. They had a doubleheader against Nottingham and comfortably won both games. So the Devils 2 points means that just 4 points are required for the Devils.
Thanks, Nottingham.
Yeah, thank you. It's always good to see you. You've got to feel for Nottingham's fans. You know, I think it from everything I've read from Nottingham fans, they turned up for one period out of six, and it's a lot of money to go to Belfast. And, you know, whether your league campaign's done or not, I have some respect for your fans and turn up.
Yeah.
And the turn up for the
It was an interesting listening to the Kasperskis podcast this week, and felt they were oddly they sounded oddly like myself when we were under the old regime, but sad times for the fans there.
Well, other than the fact that their average
that they actually turned up, yeah.
Yeah, they keep getting improved fan numbers, so you know that core that you know, feels it the most to being drowned in what everyone else is happy. So you know, it's got to be difficult for them to be heard there and looking to get a supporters trust set up. So obviously wish them all the best with that. But as I said, 4 points needed either to be won by the Devils or dropped by the Giants to get over the finish line. And the first game of note for us this weekend is Giants home to Sheffield on Friday night. Interesting game. Read a lot around social media about whether or not Sheffield will turn up. The fact that they don't want the Devils to win the league. Obviously, if Sheffield were to win in regulation, we could win the league in their barn the following night with a win. Do you see that? Do you see Sheffield thinking, oh, we don't want Cardiff to win the league, so we'll not turn up?
No. If they feel that strongly about it, then they'll turn up on Saturday and turn us over, is the short answer to that one.
Yeah, you win your games. Aaron, you know, can you see it? Are you one of the ones thinking that, or maybe Sheffield won't necessarily put 100% in on Friday night?
I don't see why they would. If you think about it, they if they win all their games, they can move up into second place, which means, you know, if we do win the playoffs, and I don't want to jinx this, obviously, that means they get the Continental Cup, because it falls obviously down to the seat in the next seed, because obviously if we win the league, we qualify for the Champions League. So why would they want to risk European hockey to spite us and not win the league? I can't see them doing it. You know, they're a competitive team. They always want to win, and, you know, they beat us quite comfortably. Well, I wouldn't say quite comfortably, because we don't without backup, but they beat us well, and I don't see why they can't do the same against the Giants. But on the flip side, do they want that Champions Hockey League at Continental Cup European Hockey? You know, it conflicts with the Elite League schedule. In I know Panthers won it last year, but it's.
I think for me, that's why they 100% would. Nottingham won it last this year.
Yeah, I suppose.
You know,
yeah.
If Sheffield go and win it this year, you know, go and win it next year.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
It would even make them want it even more. Because of that. yeah, and you know, really good point around the Continental Cup. Hadn't sort of twigged with the seedings that, you know, if you're sitting in second place, it gives you two bites at the Continental Cup, either winning the playoffs yourself or not winning the playoffs and the league winners winning the playoffs. So, really good point. Aaron in, good point. Shocker. So, after that, and Giants then are home to Coventry on Saturday night at the same time that we travel to Sheffield. And, you know, I'm sure, you know, Sheffield will be going hell for leather. Coventry definitely will, fighting for their top eight spot to get themselves into the playoffs. Whether the difference in quality will be enough, because, you know, for the Giants, if the Devils drop a single point on the weekend, as long as they pick up 4 points, the league is in their hands next weekend. They just need to win the following weekend. They just need to beat us in regulation twice. But, you know, it keeps it in their hands if we drop 1 point over the weekend. So, you know, I can't see the Giants taking their foot off the gas, and I'd be very pleasantly surprised if they dropped some points, but wouldn't be holding my breath on that one. And it's not the biggest thing. There's four games left. The Devils need 4 points. It's wholly in our hands. Sean, what are your hopes for Saturday? Do you see any of those points coming Saturday night, or are you not holding out too much hope?
I know I'll be supporting Coventry for the first time in probably ever.
You supported Sheffield the night before.
Yeah, well, I know, shocking, but...
dirty weekend. What a dirty weekend.
I know, it's horrible, isn't it? I don't really know. I think Coventry, I think both teams have something to play for, and I think Belfast will need to be at their best to beat them. Listen, Coventry have got a lot to play for, and they've got a lot to prove, and as Alan said, they're a playoff team. They want that playoff spot to at least have something to fight for this year. They've been one of the poorer sides throughout the course of the year, even though they've taken a couple of scalps. And listen, why can't they do it now? It's a team filled with some quite good players, and they've got a very good goalie. If their goalie's on, then they can win a game. And yeah, I hope Brian Stewart is on top form, to be quite honest with you, as with us, Irvine's Mustard. And listen, if Sheffield win and Coventry win, we don't have to do anything in Sheffield. We can just go absolutely crazy. We don't have to do anything. We just have to drink.
We obviously wouldn't know. I plan on doing that regardless.
Yes.
Well.
Why not? It's the last, potentially the last away trip of the season. But yeah, so moving on to our game, whether we need to, we won't know if we'll need to do it or not, facing off the same time as Giants Blaze. It's going to be a difficult game. You mentioned earlier, Sean, you think it could be a feisty one. Do you see the Devils looking for retribution for Bams, or will it just be a case of, if it happens again, we'll be stepping up?
The biggest retribution will be the 2 points on the board and making ourselves right up there to be taking that crown off them on the night. So I think that's what we need to take as a priority. That's what Bounds will want as a priority. And that's what Andrew Dorbo want as a priority to get the points. And I know that the incident was a bit unsavoury. And I think that if anyone goes near Ben Bounds in his state, then Patrick Bordelot will kill someone. I hope.
Yeah, Aaron, your thoughts on the coming game on Saturday night?
Like, it's in our hands. We've played brilliantly against them all year. You know, you could take the last game as a little bit of a hangover. You know, it's a lot better than some of the hangover games we've had against Sheffield. But it's doable. I don't want to seem overconfident, but I think Lord would give the players a little boot up the arse. Right. And that will push us over the line to get us the 2 points. As for the retribution, as Sean said, I'd rather take the 2 points than win a fight. So, but who knows? Who knows? It's probably, every game's the biggest game, but this is the biggest game so far. So let's see what we can do.
It is a huge game, as you said, and depending on what happens in it or in Belfast, the following night, home to Fife could be an even bigger game. If that's the one you're looking for. You know, Fife, a team that they seem pretty much nailed on now to finish sixth in the league. I've had some, as you've sure mentioned, Coventry have had some big scalps. You know, Fife have beaten, they've beaten Sheffield and Belfast in recent weeks. They've beaten ourselves and Nottingham this season as well. Mostly on home ice though, so you know, not a team that travels as well as they do on their home ice up in Kirkcaldy.
I think they won in Nottingham as well.
They have won it, right? Fair enough.
And did they beat Coventry away this week in a shootout?
It's Coventry in the nicest possible way.
Paul, be nice. We need favours off them this week. We need favours.
We do. I'm trying to be nice to all these teams that I always offend. But you know, a good team Fife coming in with probably one of the best goalies in the league as well, Sean. That not a team to be taken lightly on Sunday night.
No, absolutely not. And they're going to want to finish as high as possible as well. They're going to be looking to build some momentum and looking to carry that through into qualifying for the Final Four again. And in their case, hopefully going that extra mile and making it to the final. And yeah, they've got a good team, Fife. I really, really like watching them outside. You know, whenever you watch highlights, Fife score some pretty goals and they're filled with a lot of talent. You've got guys like Rick Jackman, Brendan Brooks, the player from, I forget his name, the guy who played in the EPL last year, who played for Swindon.
Zanetti.
Carlo Fanucci, yeah. And they just seem to have a lot of speed, and I really like watching them because they're quick, their transition is good, they score some pretty goals, their goaltender is, in my eyes, I think he's one of the best in the league, and they're gonna be a bit of a challenge for us, and regardless of what happens on Saturday, if we win Saturday and lose Sunday, then you know it'll be murder to play in Cardiff. But yeah, it'll just be absolutely biblical if that happens, because we'll have done the hard work on Saturday, and come Sunday, it'll just, who knows? Let's just win both and do it. Let's just go and do it.
Just do it.
Do it. Do it now.
Yeah, wow. I was a couple of times I stopped myself saying that, Sean. So I'm glad one of us one of us went there. That is our show. Could be an interesting podcast to listen to next week. Thank you to everyone who listened to last week.
I think it's just worth pointing out that if all goes well, it won't be out till about Friday evening. And if it doesn't go very well, it might be out Monday afternoon.
we could just capture it all in a double episode, yeah, depending on the...
It won't be out Monday afternoon, regardless of what happens. We just can't be bothered.
We did manage it after the Challenge Cup, and thank you to everyone who listened. This, you know, been one of our most listened to episodes this season. One that was really fun to record, and there were a lot of people sort of mentioned on Saturday at the Dundee game how much they enjoyed it. So thank you to everyone for the feedback. Please let us know what you think of this much more average episode that you've managed to get through. So congratulations. keep sending us your thoughts, your ideas, things you want us to discuss, any feedback. But for now, thank you for listening. And that is your Red Army Roundup.
#Ramite.